your Bibles to the book of Jude once again. And we want to continue our study in this wonderful book. It is a privilege to gather together in the name of Jesus based on the living Word of God. Those ancient words that are so true and up to date. Let's bow in prayer and ask the Lord to open our hearts to His Word this morning. Our Father, we thank You so much for the Word of God. Thank You, Your Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. And Lord, in the confusion that's all around us, there is a light beam that we can follow. And that light beam is the Word of God. And thank You, Lord, that forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. Thank You, Lord, that wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to Your Word. And thank You, Lord, that Jesus said to the Father, Your Word is truth. So we praise You for the privilege to assemble together. We praise You for the privilege to open Your Word. Now teach us by Your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was on a construction site some years ago, and the foreman was preparing to pour concrete. Things weren't quite ready, and the concrete truck showed up. I remember what he said. But before I tell you what he said, I got to ask you a question. If you have ever heard this expression, or does this just come from the Midwest in the United States? Have you ever heard this expression about buttering someone up? Raise your hand if you've heard that. Okay, so we know what we're talking about. All right, to butter someone up is to flatter them, to appease them with words of friendliness and so on. So the foreman, when he saw the concrete truck coming up, knowing that we weren't ready for the concrete, said, oh, we really got to butter this guy up so that he's not mad at us. That was the idea. So he began to speak nice words to him, but it was to get something, or in this case, not to get something, not to get his anger. Sometimes people get really good at buttering people up, flattering them for their own means, their own selfish purposes. Jude is dealing with false teachers here, and he has a fascinating expression that we're going to come to today. These three messages have been entitled, Your Speech Betrays You, taken from Matthew 26:73, when it says, a little later, those who stood by came up and said to Peter, surely you're also one of them, for your speech betrays you. So we're applying that phrase to these false teachers. There are five apt descriptions of them in Jude 16, and four of them have to do with speech, with things that are said. Jude 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. So what they were doing is they were giving away what was really in their hearts. The false teachers were giving vent to what was in their hearts by the things that they said. Now, just one at a time, let's review very briefly. They were murmurers or grumblers, number one. And for each of these, we have looked at a definition, an explanation, and a lesson. Let me just highlight one lesson from the grumblers. Watch out for those who consistently grumble. Number two, they were fault finders or complainers. And here are a couple of lessons to learn from the fault finders. Watch out for those who find fault with God's Word. And these false teachers did that. Today we might hear something like this. Oh, that's just too old-fashioned. Or, that's too restrictive. Oh, that's just so out of date, that book. How could you ever believe that or even want to live by it? Don't find fault with the Word of God. And watch out for those who do and for those who are so-called ministers who find fault with the Word of God, flee from them and don't listen. Watch out for those who find fault with the Lord Jesus, such as this. Why should Christ be the only way of salvation? That's too narrow. And they find fault with Jesus. Or they say, Jesus was a good teacher, but perfect? Sinless? No way. Flee from such who find fault with Jesus. Or to say, well, Jesus was a good man, but God? No, not at all. They're finding fault with the person and work of Jesus. The third characteristic of these teachers is they were lust chasers, walking according or walking after their own lusts. So the lesson is, watch out for religious leaders who proudly teach and are controlled by their passionate lusts. Watch out for those who are controlled by power, greed, sensuality. Watch out for religious leaders who are lust chasers. And then the fourth truth that we see is they were boasters. They were boasters. And here are some lessons to learn from the boasters. Watch out for those who proudly teach and boast against the God of the Bible. Their boasting and their pride is an affront. It's an insult to the one true God. And watch out for religious leaders who minimize God and maximize themselves. And watch out for those who want to accept their words. They want their people to accept their words. And at the same time, they ignore the Word of God. Boasters. And now we come to the fifth truth. And it says they are favorite players. You say, no, my Bible says they were flattering people to gain advantage. Now, this is a little technical in some ways today. I want you to stay with me and I want you to follow several texts because I have probably had the most trouble with this last phrase. And part of the trouble is figuring out what exactly is Jude saying here and what does this mean? Most translations have flattering for the next word. And that's what I had at first. Flattering. The note sheet from before had that as the fifth characteristic. But Jude uses a very fascinating expression here. So I'd like you just to walk with me as we study the Word of God together to figure this out. Literally, this is the phrase, marveling or wondering at faces for the sake of profit or gain. Wondering or marveling at faces for the sake of gain. First of all, the aspect of marveling or wondering. You'll notice in your note sheets there, we'll just work our way through three things here. Marveling. The aspect of marveling. It's the Greek word that means to wonder at, to marvel. And then when face is added to it, it means to admire, to pay regard to one's external appearance, that is to be influenced by partiality. And this expression is used to translate a Hebrew Old Testament expression to lift up the face or lift up faces. So it means to admire, to wonder at, or to respect persons. And it's very similar to expression meaning to show partiality. So I believe what's going on here when Jude says they are marveling at faces is he's speaking to these false teachers showing partiality. Now, is flattery disconnected from that? It may play into that. They may show their partiality by flattery. All right, so just hang with me. Think with me now about the power of the face. It means it's a common expression for face or countenance. And then we have the problem of gain. The problem of gain. Usefulness, advantage, profit, use or gain. These are definitions of this word to gain advantage. So apparently, here's what's going on. the false teachers demonstrated favoritism for the sake of their own gain, their own profit, their own advantage. And there's one excellent translation that I believe has it spot on. It's the English Standard Version, and it says, showing favoritism to gain advantage. Showing favoritism to gain advantage. Now I want to look at examples of Scripture to see if we can figure this out. The word wonder, marvel, that is translated here, flattering. That word is used in Mark 15:5. And if you want to turn to some of these with me, that would be great. Mark 15:5. I've listed them in your notes, and you can jot some other notes with that. This is Jesus before Pilate in Mark chapter 15. And notice what Pilate does here when Jesus is before him. Pilate was amazed in Mark 15:5. He wondered at this, but Jesus still answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. He wondered at this, that Jesus said nothing. So that's the basic word wonder. Now we have this expression to wonder at a face, to marvel at a face. And that's the expression that Jude uses. And I discovered this is a rather common Old Testament expression. In the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, this is rather common to marvel at a face, to marvel at faces. So let's look at some of those examples. The Lord favored Lot about sparing the city of Zoar. Let's go to Genesis chapter 19. This particular one is not on your list. But Genesis chapter 19 and verse 21, God is speaking to Lot, and he's trying to deliver him out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and he wants him to go to the mountains. Lot appeals to him to go to this city, to Zoar. And look what God says to him, Genesis 19:21. And he said to him, see, I have favored you. I have wondered at your face. I have had respect to your countenance. So in this way, a positive sense, I've had respect to your face. That's a positive sense. But look at these negative ideas. Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 15. Now God can give favor however he wants. If he wants to wonder at a face, that is to show respect or favor to them, that's up to him. But look at what God says here in Leviticus 19:15. Amazing words. A just judicial system will follow exactly these words. Leviticus 19:15. You shall do no injustice in judgment. Now look at this. You shall not be partial to the poor. Don't favor the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. And you see that where it says, honor the person of the mighty? That's our expression here. Don't marvel at the face of the mighty people. Now, it's very interesting that the first phrase, you shall not be partial to the poor, that's another expression that means literally to receive the face. It's one of our categories. We'll get to it. Don't accept the face of someone. That is, don't discriminate. Don't show favoritism. Don't be partial. So the Lord prohibited Moses from showing partiality in justice. The two phrases are used here to prohibit favoritism. If you stand before a judge and a judge looks at you and he evaluates your clothing and he says, not going to give this guy a break. And then someone comes to him and slips him a few $1,000 bills and he said, oh yeah, you can go free, no problem. That's a perversion of justice. Showing favoritism or disregarding one and honoring those, not being fair and equitable. And God says, you will not have that kind of system in Israel, Moses. Don't show partiality in justice. All right, now look at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality. See that? He doesn't wonder at a face. He doesn't marvel at a face. He doesn't show partiality, nor takes a bribe. This is the God of Israel. He does not show partiality. This is how He is described in the Scripture. So keep in mind, what are we dealing with here in the New Testament? People who do this in the church. The false teachers who are doing this in the church. Moses describes God as showing no partiality. Look at Deuteronomy 28 and verse 50. And here, God is speaking about enemy invasion. Verse 49, He says, "The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand, a nation of fierce countenance," get this, "which does not respect the elderly." And here's a positive sense of this. They will have a nation coming against them that does not hold in regard the aged. They don't pity, they don't honor, they don't marvel at the face of the elderly, nor show favor to the young. You can tell so much about a culture by how they treat their babies and how they treat the elderly. And we have evil things in our culture today being pushed and pushed upon us. Abortion for the babies, the preborn, and euthanasia for the elderly. In disregard to what God says here, "I'm going to bring against you, Israel, a nation," and they don't marvel at the face of the elderly. They don't wonder at them. They don't show respect for them. I heard a Christian talk show host this week talking about how the day is gone when people show respect to the elderly and when they stand up, when they enter the room. May it not be so. There should be respect that is shown. Do you know why when a woman comes to sing a special that men on a platform will stand up? It's to show respect. I will never forget this lesson that my mother taught me, and you've heard me maybe say it before, but it comes to bear here. We were in this little church in St. Petersburg, Florida, the Christian Fellowship Church. It was mostly senior saints. And the pastor was a godly older gentleman. And here I was a college student. I was there in that church with my mom on this particular day. And Pastor Yipma came around the pew to greet me. And he gave me a handshake. And later, my mom said, "Now, son, you stand up when Pastor Yipma comes to greet you. When an older person greets you, you stand up." I have never forgotten that. And then when I was in the United States military, they taught us that when a senior officer comes in, you stand up and you show respect. In fact, we would gather for commander's calls, and the first sergeant would be at the door preceding the colonel coming in, and in a loud bark would call us all to attention, and the commander would come in, and the humble commanders would right away say, "As you were." Those that were a little bit on the pompous side, they would have you standing for a while. And I think they really enjoyed that moment. But they deserved it. It was to show respect. Where does that come from? Right here. There's another text. It was in Leviticus, I believe, about standing up for the older saints and showing respect. Well, God is saying here, there's going to be a nation who comes that will not respect the elderly, and they're going to afflict Israel. I want you to notice another text, 2 Chronicles chapter 19. And this is part of this word group, to marvel at the face, to wonder at the face. 2 Chronicles 19 and verse 7. Jehoshaphat is speaking here and it says, "Now therefore let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take care and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, no partiality, nor taking of bribes." You see that? Jehoshaphat instructs judges that he's appointing in the land. Verse 5, he said judges in the land. He's instructing these judges to be after God's pattern of impartiality. Don't take bribes. Don't marvel at a face. Don't wonder at a face. Don't show partiality. And now this puts the cap on it. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 5. Proverbs 18:5. And here it says this. It is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. When we see wicked people getting off and no justice brought to them, how discouraged it makes people feel. It's against God's word right here. Not good to show partiality to the wicked and to overthrow the righteous in judgment. All right, now, this is the background of Jude's expression, to marvel at the face. We see clearly the picture here that is placed before us from the Old Testament. Now I want to share another expression. It's also on your notes. It's the two words receive and face. To receive a face is another expression that means to show partiality. And let's look at these two verses. Luke chapter 20 and verse 21. So God instructed the people of Israel not to show partiality. Look what Jesus did. Luke 20 verse 21. Let's start with verse 20. Luke 20, 20. So they watched him and they sent spies who pretended to be righteous that they might seize on his words in order to deliver him to the power and the authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Teacher, we know that you say and teach rightly. Okay, that's true. They spoke the truth to Jesus. They actually are trying to butter him up here, if I can say that reverently, by saying these positive things. We know that you say and teach rightly, and you do not show personal favoritism. That's the translation of receiving the face. Receiving the face. You do not show personal favoritism, but teach the way of God truly. So they spoke truth about Jesus, even if their motives were wrong. Now go to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. Galatians, chapter 2, verse 6. And the Apostle Paul is saying here about those Judaizers, those who wanted to lead people back to Old Testament laws in order for salvation. Verse 6. But from those who seem to be something, whatever they were, it makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. You see that? God is not partial to anyone. He doesn't receive the face, except the face. So Paul taught that God shows no favoritism. All right, now I want to go to another word group. But this word group is very similar to the other one. This one crashes together the two words. Receive the face. This one puts them together into one word to speak of partiality. And I've listed six things here that we see from Scripture. Romans chapter 2, verse 11. We see this emphasized again. There's no partiality with God. Romans 2, 11. Clear as could be here. There is no partiality with God. There is no face receiving. No face acceptance, translated as partiality. No partiality, no favoritism with God. From the MacArthur Study Bible, it says, partiality, literally, to receive a face. That is, to give consideration to someone simply because of his position, his wealth, his influence, his popularity, or appearance. Receive the face. Oh, I like you because I like the way you dress. Oh, I like you because you have a lot of money. Oh, I like you because you have a really nice car. No, that's receiving the face. No partiality exists with God. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9. The Holy Spirit addresses masters and bondservants. And the foundation of the end of slavery is laid in Scripture with the equal treatment of people, and Jesus commands to love one another. But look what he says in Ephesians 6, verse 9. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven. And look at the next thing. And there is no partiality with God. You masters, you do the will of God from the heart. Verse 8, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he's slave or free. Masters, you do the right thing and understand you're going to give account to God, and there is no partiality with him, no receiving of face with him. The master in heaven shows no partiality. Look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 25. Colossians 3:25. But he who does wrong will be repaid for the wrong which he has done, and there is no partiality. The Lord Christ judges without partiality. Now let's come to James chapter 2. And marvelous words are here in James chapter 2. He says in verse 1, my brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality, with receiving face, with faith acceptance. Look at the clear command. Do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. Do not treat other brothers and sisters in Christ unequally. Powerful. Powerful. Believers must not be partial. Let's notice another text. James chapter 2, verse 9. But if you show partiality, you commit sin. Is it any clearer? You commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. When believers show respect of persons and partiality, they sin. Let me put it like this. If you and I show respect to persons and partiality, we sin. Now let's go to Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. God was opening a door in Acts chapter 10 to us, the Gentiles. The gospel came first to the nation of Israel, came to the Jews. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And so here in Acts chapter 10, this very conscientious Jewish man was given a big pill to swallow, and he had a hard time with it. He had this vision, this sheet that came down, and all kinds of animals were there. Maybe there were some shrimp, and maybe some snake, and maybe some rabbit, and maybe some pigs. And the message was, arise, Peter, kill and eat. Oh, no, Lord, I don't eat that stuff. I eat kosher food. I keep the laws of the Old Testament. I don't eat those kind of things. Someone for you here, Peter, at the door. It was Cornelius. There's a bigger lesson here. God is opening the door to the Gentiles. And so Peter was taught this lesson, and he comes. He saw salvation to the Gentiles. Look at Acts 10:28. He said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked then, for what reason have you sent me?" Cornelius told him what God had been doing in his life. Cornelius said in verse 30, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging in the house of Simon a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we're all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. And notice what happened. Cornelius and his family heard the gospel, and they were saved. Verse 45. Those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. The gospel went to the unlikely because of Acts chapter 10, verse 34. I perceive that God shows no partiality. Praise God, the door is wide open. And what happened here was a mini Acts chapter 2. It was a mini day of Pentecost to identify these Romans with all those that were saved and filled with the Spirit of God on the day of Pentecost, because the church would be composed of Jew and Gentile alike, saved by the gospel of Christ, filled with the Spirit of God. God shows He's no respecter of persons. Now go back to Jude 16. The fifth characteristic here was that these people were respecting persons to gain advantage. We have the problem of gain. So they were respecting persons, showing partiality. Now, is it a stretch to think they also flattered them? That may have been part of their respecting of the person, showing favoritism, accepting their face, marveling at their person. And Jude said, this is a characteristic of the false teachers. Here are some lessons to learn. Lessons to learn on this truth. Watch out for spiritual leaders and teachers who play favorites with people so as to gain advantage. At the root of this is selfishness. Watch out for spiritual leaders who favor those who have the potential to do something for them, but despise or neglect those whom they think can't help them. Watch out for religious leaders who directly go against the clear teaching of Scripture. God, through Moses, Kings, the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus, showed us we don't play favorites for the sake of gain. We don't accept persons. We don't marvel at the face. So these applications, and I have several, so just bear with me. Jude gives us descriptions of the false teaching infiltrators in his day. Their speech betrays them. Can you think of any religious leader marked by these characteristics today? Be warned. But let's then look at our own hearts as believers. Do we resemble any of these negative things? Grumbling, fault finding, lust chasing, boasting in pride, playing favorites out of a selfish motive? Christians must think biblically and exercise discernment. And we must be on guard against anything that comes against the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of the Word of God. Get this, the gospel is for the lowly and the mighty, for the beggar and the billionaire, for the sinner and the saint. The gospel is for all. The ground is level at the cross. And if you've not yet trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, don't think, oh, God couldn't love me. Don't think that because of your sin. Don't think that about any of your life circumstances. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul had been a religious man. He said, I was the chief of them. But Christ came to save him, to transform him. The Lord Jesus was born into this world, placed in a manger of hay where animals would eat. He can identify and save the lowliest and the mightiest. It's the power of the gospel. If you haven't believed the gospel that Christ died on the cross, that He was buried, that He rose again, He died there for your sins, call on the Lord and be saved. Jesus said, He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will no wise cast out. Now let's apply that right here to these four doors at East End Baptist Church. And praise God, I'm not saying this because I know of any problem. Favoritism, respect of persons, has no place in God's church. Respect of persons has no place in God's church. I don't look at someone's clothes. This is what I ought not to do. Let me say it like that. You ought not to look at someone's clothes, their car, their house, or their face and determine whether or not we like them or want them to come to church with us. We don't look at someone's skin color. That's not what matters with God. Now, let's finish with James chapter 2 and notice the whole context here of James' passage. Verse 1 and verse 9 are the bookends. They both speak about partiality. James 2:1. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes, and you say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not shown partiality among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him? But you've dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. I can imagine those false teachers who had infiltrated the people of God in Jude's day, seeing someone come in the midst with gold rings and jewelry, and they say, we got to connect with this guy. He could really help us out here. We got to really butter him up. We want him to stay around. And then some beggar comes in, raggedy clothes. And they say, oh, friend, come out here. You know, we got a place for you on the sidewalk. Jude says it's a characteristic of these false teachers. They play favorites. May it not be so with the people of God. Praise God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. We see our need. We run to Jesus. We can be saved. We can have eternal life. And then He wants us to love people genuinely. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for this little book of Jude. Thank You for these glorious stones that are to be uncovered, turned over. There's so much truth here. Lord, we pray that You would teach us, help us to live out the truth of the Word of God. Lord, I pray for anyone that hears these words who's not yet trusted in Jesus, that they will see their need, they will call on the name of the Lord and be saved. I pray, Father, that You will work by Your Spirit in the lives of Your people, that we will truly love others, and that we will be those who reach out to the mighty and to the lowly, to the beggar and to the wealthy. Lord, use us for Your honor and glory to make a difference for the cause of Christ. Forgive us, Lord, when we have been judges of evil thoughts. Purge that from us, that we would be filled with the love of Christ. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.